Amen.
Well, family, it's that time of year again.
What, Christmas?
No, not Christmas, son.
Oh, don't tell me the family annual holiday reunion, is it? Yeah.
Sarah, good thinking, but 3 weeks' time. Keep that in mind.
3 weeks? Oh, I know. The family holiday to Bonnie Doondal.
Bonnie Doon.
How's the serenity?
Laurie?
Oh, sorry. No, that's not it. Guess what's faith promise decision time. Yeah. Come on, guys, get excited. It's where we get to trust God, get him, ask him how much we should give and how you know, he leads us in what we should give. It's great.
How much we should give? Oh, darling, I don't know about that. I mean, have you seen the fuel prices lately? And not to mention the interest rates.
Darling, sweetie. You know, faith promise is not about finding the money out of what we already have.
What do you mean, Dad?
Well, son, come up here. Let me tell you about faith promise. Come and sit here, mate. Faith promise is where we get to exercise our faith. We get to basically give money which is over and above our local tithe to the church. And you see, what we do is we actually ask God to tell us an amount and then trust him to bring that amount of money in over the next year. And you know what? Sometimes he does that in miraculous ways.
Really?
That's right.
Yeah, actually, do you remember that time when we promised an amount, Dale, and we weren't quite there at the end of the year and we didn't think we were going to make it?
What happened?
Well, dear, if I remember correctly, I think we got a tax check for the exact amount right at the last
minute. That's right, praise the Lord.
Dad.
Wait. Why do we need to give more money to the church?
Well, Sarah, the money doesn't actually go to the church. It goes to our local and overseas missions. They actually rely on us to help them in the support work in terms of their spread of the gospel. So, Nick, mate, how much are you going to give?
I've got no way of getting extra money.
You could get off your behind and get a job.
You can talk.
Oh, hey, guess what?
Oh, what?
You're a dork.
Sarah. Oh, you could grow a money tree in the backyard. That would be so cool.
Dork.
Nicholas.
Ben, that's very creative thinking. I wish that were true, but it's not. But keep thinking, mate. Nick, here's a suggestion. Instead of going to McDonald's 3 times a week, only go once a week. The money you save, you can actually put that to your faith promise.
Yeah, all right. And Sarah, dear, maybe you could think about buying a few less fashion magazines.
Yeah, okay. Oh, and hey, Dad, could we skip Bonnie Doon this year?
It's okay, family. It's okay. We're still going to Bonnie Doon. We're not surrendering that one. Okay.
Oh, I could maybe ask old Mrs. Jackson next door if I could walk her dog for money, and then I could give that.
Oh, Ben, doll, that's a great idea.
Oh, can I go now, Mum? Please.
Oh, off
please.
You go, love.
Good on you, Ben. Well, it wasn't so hard, was it, everyone? Good. Well, here's your faith promise slip. Good stuff. Sarah, come on. Okay, Dahl. Okay. Come and sit down, and I want us just to spend some time where we sit down, we reflect, and we seek God, ask him how much we should give. Let's pray.
Seeing we were just encouraged to, let's do it, shall we? Let's pray. Father, I just ask in these few moments that we have together that we would be open to the things that you're wanting to say to us. And I just want to thank you that whatever way we may partner in mission, I want to thank you that we can play a part with you in seeing our world transformed and in seeing lives transformed and changed. And Lord, I come today just so aware of my own inadequacies in terms of conveying something that can bring such a thrill to each of us as we step out in faith and trust you. Sometimes trusting you for the release of what we do have, sometimes trusting you for the things that we don't have. And we're looking to you to provide. God, I ask that by your Spirit you would lead us as we spend these few moments together today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Julie and I had the privilege during the week of just for a couple of days being across in New South Wales for the opening of the new headquarters for Compassion. And I saw the outworking of a simple commitment of faith on behalf of a man who in his 40s sensed that God would have him sponsor a little girl in the Philippines. A little girl in the Philippines had come from a slum and was living in a slum with her mum and her siblings. And she got the word that she was able to join a project where she would at least receive a meal a day, a balanced meal a day, where she would receive an education. And she didn't understand or know it at the time, but she was going to learn about what it means to have a relationship with God. That man was a blue-collar worker. It was a sacrificial commitment in terms of mission on his behalf, but he began to enter into dialogue. Well, this little girl is now 23 years of age. And she stood before a gathering of about 250 of us to share in tears the difference that Compassion has made to her life. She used to plead with her mum to find the money to go and buy a rotten apple so she could at least taste an apple. She'd never tasted one. She remembers that as a vivid childhood memory. And it wasn't until she was involved in Compassion that came about. But friends, what I began to see as this girl unfolded, she, by the time she was eight and she's reading these letters, and she's kept every letter that this man has sent her. And when she was getting despondent and discouraged, she would get out the letters and she would realise there was a man she didn't really know who was praying for her, who was trusting that she would come to know Jesus, who was sharing scriptures of encouragement, and often his words were just what she needed to hear. He eventually got married as a mature man. And then she began to enter into relationship with her new mum in Australia as well in the letters. She graduated from high school and did so well in high school, and part of her prayer was that she would excel in gratitude for the gifts that had been given to her, that she was one of the first chosen into the first project called a leadership development program that saw her into university. During her time in university, she began to excel even there. But God began to place in her heart the desire that if she now was studying and now was receiving all of this and in a few years would be able to earn a very, very good income, that she should be giving back to the children like her who were in their situation. And the first alumni association in the Worldwide Ministry of Compassion was established in the Philippines and opened last year. 1,600 students responded. 1,600 graduates responded to say, we will now sponsor other children. We will now set up educational facilities and give of our nights and our days to help children have the same experience that we've had. But above all, we want these kids to know about Jesus. She was asked, if your sponsor were here tonight, what would you say? And she just began to weep. And then she said, I want to express appreciation for the words of encouragement. I want to express appreciation that you took seriously the words of Jesus to share the love of Jesus with me and the hope of the gospel. I want to express, and she went on and just shared a number of different things. She said, this is the only prayer that hasn't been fulfilled. She said, I wanted to meet the world president I did at the alumni meeting last year. I wanted to come to Australia. I'm here in Australia after Paul invited me to come to this conference at the opening of your building. She said, all of my dreams have been fulfilled, but the one dream I have would be to meet my sponsor. And then Paul said, well, we couldn't find your sponsor. But our staff went to the work, and with the help of the police, we've been able to locate them. I wonder if Edwina, and they called the names out, and these people stood up, and this little girl just staggered down the steps. And for about a 10-minute experience, we watched them embrace, cry, hug, and celebrate their relationship together. I wish I could package those moments and transport them so that you could experience. The most hardened men I know, some of the hardened blokes I know, hard-nosed businessmen, just standing there in that audience with the tears dripping off our cheeks as we watch this incredible experience unfold. Friends, day by day, the men and women that we partner with are having those sorts of experiences. And I just want to express and say to you how much I appreciate the fact that we, in an increasing way, are learning to excel in the grace of giving. We're learning to trust God. We're learning to experience what it means when we invest in mission and we see people experience the embrace of Jesus because of what we can do together. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you for the privilege and the joy that you've given our C2C team. As this year we will reach our faith goal over the next week. It's anticipated that today and by next Sunday we will have reached our faith goal of $120,000. And that's one of the lower targets that we've had in recent years. Some of our missionaries have had to tighten their belt a little bit, but we just want to say thank you for your participation in the gospel. Thank you for the things that you have been able to do and that we have been able to do together. And this is not all. This is not the only way. In our C2C commitment, what we do together, we acknowledge there are a lot of other ways that we give to the cause of Jesus in this place. Remember that Ashley Barker came last year and shared with us, and again his wife Angie came back this year. But last year in the Sunday, as God spoke to a number of you and you just gave extra gifts to their ministry, it is the most that has been given to Church in one weekend of ministry in its history. All over and above, as God prompted several of you to give sacrificially. And then there was the church response as a whole. And it's our desire to continue that partnership with and we'll talk a little more about that in a moment. Then there are the love offerings. Countless thousands of dollars that you have given to bless visiting missionaries, visiting ministers and ministries as they've come amongst us. I just want to say thank you for the hundreds of Compassion children that are sponsored out of this church. I want to say thank you. We have a possibility of considering a project in a village in either Africa or in a slum in Latin America, where as a church family, if we could get enough new sponsorships, we might enter into a partnership with that village and that church and have a link with sponsored programs, etc. And we're going to prayerfully consider that and see the ways that we might be able to work. The direct support that many of you give to Christian ministry over and above our commitments here. And some of us give as much to C2C and as much again away equal amounts away because of past commitments in other churches or people that God has laid upon your heart. Left hand not knowing what the right hand is doing type giving. Our C2C promise in giving is going to our missions family and the things that we've spelled out in the material that we've shared with you. And that is what we can do together. But God is doing far more through you than just what we are doing together. And we just want to acknowledge that and thank God for that. It's a wonderful privilege that we have of being involved personally in ministry. The directing of dollars to wreck to the field. We as a church are quite prepared, and some, because of trusts, etc., have made the church a beneficiary. If you need to give to people, all you've got to do is, if you have to do this, we don't encourage it, we're happy to serve you this way because it can become onerous. But you provide us the envelope and the address, and you give us the amount of money out of a trust, etc., because South Perth Church is a beneficiary. We can direct those resources directly to the people that you have partnership with, and we're happy to do that. We do not include that in our C2C faith promise. This is over and above again. It's some way that we can support you and serve you, but it enables more money to get to the field, and for that we praise God. The Christmas cards, the books, all the different things like that. Linda was just signing her little book. I read it just in an hour. It's just Aussie humour at its best as she talks about her ministry in the prisons in Cambodia. And if you didn't get a copy of that, if you weren't here, please get a CD or log on to the website and have a listen to Linda's testimony last Sunday. Just amazing. And then there's the special needs sponsorships that we have for missionary groups like Cosmos Life Care. All over and above our regular commitment to the local church and a mission through C2C. And again, please hear me just say thank you as you respond to God's call. It's just a thrill to see the way that God is working through us collectively as a people. And I want to express appreciation. But then too, as I was thinking of today and launching our theme and launching our C2C week, I was struck by a passage of Scripture yesterday referring to Paul and Barnabas in their first missionary journey in Acts 13. I'm sure many of you read this passage. But I want to read to you just four verses out of the Message, because there's a particular expression that Peterson uses to describe what was taking place that really stood out for me. The congregation in Antioch was blessed with a number of preachers and teachers. There was Barnabas and Simon, nicknamed Niger, Lucius, they even had nicknames then, Lucius the Cyrenian, there was Manaen, an advisor to the ruler Herod. That's something in and of itself. Someone serving Herod, but one of the new believers in the Christian church. And Herod at that time had been killing Christians. And one day, as they were worshipping God, they were also fasting as they waited for guidance. And friends, I want to encourage you to do this if need be this week, in the week that lies ahead. As they were fasting, as they waited for guidance, the Holy Spirit spoke. Now, that's not surprising. One of the things that I've discovered over the years, that when we're seeking specific direction and guidance from the Lord, if you go without food and if you spend extra time in prayer, your spiritual senses are heightened. You hear from God far more clearly and easily. It is a discipline. And it's something that we would encourage you to do as you feel led and prompted, and as we're calling you to do the week after our C2C week. But the Holy Spirit spoke, "Take Barnabas and Saul and commission them for the work I have called them to do." So they commissioned them in that circle of intensity and obedience, of fasting and praying. They laid hands on their heads and sent them off. Sent off on their new assignment by the Holy Spirit, Barnabas and Saul went down to Seleucia caught a ship for Cyprus, and the first thing they did when they put in at Salamis was preach God's word in the Jewish meeting places. And you can read the exciting story that unfolds from there later in that chapter. God has reminded us over the last few weeks that we need to preach the word and proclaim the gospel. Very, very clearly he's spoken to us about that. Paul and Barnabas preached God's word not only in Salamis, but in Paphos, in Perga, in Antioch, in Pisidia, in Iconium, in Lycaonia, in Lystra, Derbe. And that's just in this one chapter alone. They went from place to place and they opened these places up to the gospel. And in every town, people believed. Every town, people responded to the call of Jesus upon their lives. And it was a wonderful move of the Spirit. Friends, I want to challenge you this week. I want to challenge you family by family. John and I have just spent time with the children. Friday night, our young people are being challenged in this whole arena, our high school youth and above, and challenging them. And over next weekend, we want children. I put my first faith promises in, as I recall it, when Dad was ministering at Wembley. I was either 5 or 6 years of age. I've made a faith promise every year since, and every year since our faith promise has been able to grow, and we've been able to trust Him by God's grace. It concerns me, friends. Concerns me that often when I look at the resources that we have in terms of what we can commit to mission, that just a few handful of people I know in this church and the promises that they have made, just a handful of us promised in excess of half of our total giving last year. Just 6 or 7 of us. And it concerns me that God, I believe, would have us expand our mission vision, so that we can support those that God is calling from our midst and setting apart to go and to share the message. Now where? In our church? Yeah. In our community? Yeah. In our city? Yes. City ministries. Here in Australia? In our country? Yes. We're supporting ministries in our country. So many people here don't know Jesus. But also many of our people are being called to some of those unreached arenas, where they do not and have not heard about Jesus. And so I'm asking you this morning, will you take seriously what you can do? What you can do. The amount is insignificant. It's when it comes together as we trust God for mission. When it comes together, it becomes significant. Becomes something that is very powerful and something that can be used mightily of God. So C2C is what we can do together. You are free to pass gifts to others as you feel led of the Lord. But C2C, our faith, Christ to Cosmos giving, is what we do together for our missions family. And friends, we have a growing family. You saw in the grey sheets that we gave to you all, and if you didn't get one of those, we'll get one of them to you at the info desk today. You saw how our missions family is growing. We have the Tassels who are graduating at the end of the year and will be going into mission, full-time mission. We have the Wrights, Grant and Sarah Wright, who have completed training in America. God's graciously provided Grant a beautiful wife with a half of missions. And these guys are going into an unreached people group to share the gospel over this next 12 months. We have the Frolics, Dwayne and Chantel, who are part of our family, who are going to go church planting and doing holistic ministry amongst Muslim people in Indonesia. We have the Barkers that we're looking at a small partnership with and continuing to develop. And we're praying about supporting the pastor who is leading the church in Candili. They have no regular means of support. And this is a significant church that is growing as a result of the Cosmos Medical Clinic. And for $4,000 a year, we can pay their entire family's expenses and undergird that ministry and enable that ministry to expand. And we're praying about that possibility at the moment. At the moment, We won't do it on this year's budget. If we have an increase in our C2C budget this year, we will support that man and enable broader ministry to take place out of the Candelli Church. But these are the things that we're trusting God for. And one of the other things that is going to happen is this year there will be extra mission trip possibilities. Some by other groups that you might identify with, and a couple of extra mission trips that we'll leave under our C2C covering. But there's tremendous opportunities for us to continue to serve God in this country and beyond. What we're asking you to do, what I am asking you to do this week, is to develop or to form a circle of intensity and obedience. A circle of intensity and obedience, similar to the drama. But we've challenged your children, are challenging your teenagers to make their own promise. You as a family might want to do it together, and your children play a part in that. There's something about them exercising their faith that I believe is significant. We've encouraged through the years our children to make their own faith promises, and that they will trust God for this. And as parents, friends, we can do so much, but as parents, you are the ones that primarily have to teach your children in this. And not only do you have to teach your children in this, if it's a faith component, you've actually got to enter into that experience with them and set an example. And that's what I encourage you to do. From the youngest, the moment our children have understanding, help them grow in their ability to trust God in these dimensions. Well, we want to just share a little bit of what has been accomplished this past year. And I'm going to ask John just to come and encourage you. You left the mic behind, bro. I'll get the microphone for you. Just encourage us.
This is the Sing Sing New Testament. I can't understand a word of it. But that's fair enough. They can't understand a word of English. How long has it been that this church has partnered with the Sing Sing New Testament project? And now it's another one done. This is a finishable job. This is a finite job. There's 2,025 more languages to go, and that's all. Okay, that's a lot. But every year, there's more. Steve will probably be asked by Wycliffe to become an advisor who teaches six national teams to translate into their own language. And so in the next years, as we partner with Steve, we might have six New Testaments. And they're trying to multiply the speed with which the New Testaments are being produced. So I'll leave it here from the front. You can come and see how much you can understand. And we can all just praise God for another milestone passed. Hallelujah.
Steve was an engineer. When we first met him, he was a young man entering university who didn't know Jesus. He encountered Jesus. And he came to me one day in my office and he said, "John, why don't Christian young people in this country take the gospel of Jesus seriously?" I said, "What do you mean, Steve?" And we began to talk. And here he is now, as someone who's pioneered the gospel into an unreached people group in Papua New Guinea. And not only have the Sing Sing heard the gospel, but now the neighbours of the Sing Sing are hearing the gospel as the evangelists are going out and reaching their neighbours. And we hear that he's going to be involved in seeing this reproduced. Friends, this is so exciting. Because I tell you, whenever you sit and you listen to first-generation Christians, you will hear the stories of how the gospel of Jesus liberates and sets people free. Sets people free and brings transformation. So this week, could you consider a circle of intensity and obedience? Maybe you want to throw in fasting and prayer. But can we encourage you to take a hold of these simple cards that you have been given? They're in the contact. They've come to you either via the mail or through the box. And we encourage you to say, I or we are trusting God to provide me or us with the means to give an amount. Based on your amount that you promise, we add these totals together, and next Sunday we will be taking up this faith offering. It is not a cash offering, it is a faith offering, because we don't have most of this money yet. But we trust God for it. Friends, I've got to say, the last few years for us, we have no idea how we're going to get our faith promise. But we put the amount down and we don't even budget for it anymore. We just say we've got to give it every week, and we trust you, Lord, to make our budget balance somehow. It's the only way that Julie and I can do it. Because the amount for us seems insurmountable. But every year God enables us. And I've got to say, I am praying for an injection of faith into each of your lives today. I'm praying that if you have much, that you'll at least consider sharing a little of your much, and you just budget it out of what you have and what you know is coming in. But if you don't have, then I encourage you to trust God for what you don't have. And you put that $100, you put that $500 and that $1,000 or $2,000 or $5,000 or $10,000 together, and suddenly we have a wonderful amount of money. And I am so humbled when I see a little 5 or 6 year old put in a promise of $10, because they're taking another 10% out of their missions. And they're trusting Jesus to help them to give to missions. Together we can make a difference, friends. We can make a difference. Will you make a C2C faith offering next Sunday? Last year we had 85 cards from a fellowship of over 1,000 people who would call South Perth home, and 600 or 700 people who will come here on a Sunday. And I'm praying for a vastly increased number of cards from children and young people, as we partner in mission and simply say, God, this is what I can give to what the church is doing. You might have me giving in other arenas, that's okay, but this is what you want me, I want us to give, where we partner together. And we're adding these new families to our current list and seeing that list grow as God has been raising up young men and women and men and women from our fellowship to go and to serve the Lord. Please, earnestly, trust him. I've seen this happen before. I've seen it grow. My first ministry, we had a fantastic time together. We saw God move in the hearts and lives of people. Our time is gone. I want to close with just one testimony. There's a testimony received this week from one of our family. When I started my consulting business last year, for the first 3 months, I didn't get any work and was having a pretty tough time. Doing lots of networking and coffee meetings and letters to contacts, but not getting any contract work. Fending off depression was a battle, but it was thanks to my wife and our small group and the Lord that kept me going. Anyway, during the missions week last year and towards the end of that period of depression, I committed to God to give 10% of whatever I make from the business to missions. That is, over and above our regular church tithe. Soon after, I landed my first job, and now it's all worked out better than I could have ever expected. A testimony from one of our families that wanted to remain anonymous. Friends, I want to urge you to trust him. Let's pray as we close. Father, I pray this week that our families and the homes in which we gather in, whether it is an individual seeking you, or whether it's a husband and wife, or whether it's a small group, or whether it's a family group, that we would have circles of intensity and obedience. But maybe there is fasting, but certainly praying, where we would hear from you and trust you to provide through us for the greater work of God. Lord, the opportunities are endless. We want to be strategic, but we do want to keep and maintain and, Lord, wherever possible, increase our level of support to our missions family. Help us to that end, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to encourage you to do wait upon the Lord and do as He leads you this week as we serve Him together. Down the right hand, the end of our rows, we have our care cards. Encourage you to take those and respond. If we can help by prayer, you're struggling, you want prayer for healing. Friends, if you're going through any other challenges and you want ministry, there are always elders and pastoral team, ministry team. There are always people in our prayer team who'd be delighted to pray with you. You just come down and we'll share with you. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. Live streams at 7 tonight. Picnic down on the foreshore if you want to for lunch. Look at the contact for details. Have a wonderful day and week. God bless you.
Knowledge of the Lord that gives me confidence. That's the way. Thank you. heard you walking in the garden. Footsteps come my way. My heart says run to you. My senses run away. I heard you walking in the garden. I heard you calling out my name. I heard you walking in the garden. I just pretend I can't be seen. My heart says run to you. My senses run away.